Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Well, how are you, Miss Bev?
I am great. I am worn out. I had grandkids here all weekend and even played ball with them, and that was an experience. But it's always great to be with family.
Oh,
and I am excited about today.
Oh, yeah. We got a great guest that we're going to be interviewing today. So without any further delay, let's go ahead and bring her on. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on at this time, Carla Green. Welcome, Carla, to Meet the People of MCB.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, Carla, as we talked just briefly before we started the recording, we kind of like to talk about your vision loss. So what was the actual cause and result of your vision loss?
My vision loss was due to diabetic retinopathy. I have diabetes. I've been diabetic for several years now. And I also have glaucoma. And I experienced a diabetic episode, I guess is the best way to put it. My glucose level was very high. It was like in the 400s. And I had gone to my doctor. And she admitted me into the hospital. And after they were able to control it and get it lowered, the next day when I came home, I noticed that my vision wasn't as like it was normally would be. And so I had gone to the doctor, and they had discovered that I've had diabetic retinopathy. And I had kind of noticed over some period of time that I was using readers, but they were getting stronger and stronger. So I just keep going to the store, buying another pair, saying, oh, okay, these aren't working. And so I eventually had gone to the doctor, to the ophthalmologist, and they discovered that I had diabetic retinopathy, and I had several different procedures. And then I guess I also had cataracts, and they removed that. So
wow.
I've gone through the gamut of a couple of things. But all in all, so now I'm currently, like, I consider myself low vision because I do have some vision. I'm not 100% blind, but I am legally blind.
Okay. And all this started happening while you were an adult?
Oh, yes. Well, yes, because in my younger years, like probably around the age of 10, I started wearing glasses. And so I have been wearing glasses or contact lenses, like probably when I was in the 10th grade, then I started wearing contact lenses. So I've been really wearing corrective, you know, lenses the majority of my life.
Okay. All right. So how was that experience for you, Carla, when you begin to lose your sight? You knew about your diabetes and how it could possibly affect your vision. How was it for you adjusting to the loss of your vision?
Well, it was frightening because it seemed like it just happened to me all at once, sort of like. But I was familiar with blindness in my family because diabetes runs in our family. And so my grandmother, she was blind. She was legally blind, I believe in one eye, but I really didn't believe it because she did every and anything that she wanted. She was a seamstress. So I didn't think that she was really, really blind, you know, but she did use a cane, and you could tell sometimes she would stumble. She fell down the steps one time, you know, trying to walk down the steps.
Yeah.
That's when I kind of realized that she, okay, well, maybe she does have a problem with her sight, but other than that, you know, so knowing that, my personal experience, initially I was terrified, I was frightened. And then after I dealt with that, then my sister had a coworker, and the coworker recommended that I attend an affiliate meeting with Agape, and I did that. And then it didn't seem so bad, because initially I just thought that, you know, I was the only blind person in the world. How could this happen to me? You know,
yeah.
What am I going to do? You know,
mm-hmm.
But once I discovered a network, you know, a community of people with the similar challenges that I had, then it made dealing with it. It was a lot easier. It was a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Okay. So, Carla, you mentioned like your grandmother, your sister. Let's talk a little bit about your family. Do you have other brothers or sisters?
Nope, I just have one sister, and both of my parents are deceased. So
Okay. My
sister was with me, you know, when I went to the doctor and they explained everything. And when I had, you know, my first episode, when I told her, you know, I can't see, you know. And so she kind of understood, but then she didn't understand, because she was like, well, what do you mean you can't see? And I was like, I can't see. I said, I can see you standing
yeah.
there. I said, but I can't. I said, I can't see your eyes. I can't see your face. I can tell that that's you. I hear your voice, and I see, you know, see your body, but I can't see. So after we kind of got over the hump and, you know, were able to network with other people, I wouldn't say it became easier, but it made the adjustment somewhat easier, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So tell us, and I'm going to turn it over to Bev here in just a second. So tell us, what were you doing at the time work-wise? Were you working somewhere? What were you doing? What was going on in your life at the time when you started losing your sight?
Okay. So, and this was another big clue that I was losing my sight, because I was working for St. Louis County government down in where you go to pay your personal property tax. And I just started working there, and I had just been in contact with Rehabilitation Services for the Blind. And one day I went to lunch, because I would always eat lunch out in the park. And so I had been going there for just like every day. I just go outside to the back, sit on the bench, eat my lunch, throw my garbage away, and come back in. So I did that, you know, as a regular day. And then I'm walking, and then next thing I know, because I was headed to the garbage, next thing I know, I'm falling down the steps. And I said, who moved the steps?
Who moved the steps?
So I was just like, okay. I mean, my sight was not as bad as it is now, but I don't know what the heck happened. But next thing I know, I'm falling down. So then I had broke my shoulder. So I had to call myself.
Bless your heart.
That was like the rude awakening, you know. So
yeah.
So to answer the question, the short answer is I was working for the St. Louis government down in Clayton, and I had, like I said, been in contact with Rehabilitative Services for the Blind, so they were able to get me. I had a CCC TV, and I had become familiar with Zoom Tech. I was working with Zoom Tech on my computer. And so it was an adjustment for everybody in my area. And they were very nice and supportive of it. But it was just some things that would just bother me, like the overhead lighting, and I would, the reflection that would hurt my eyes, and trying to read the people's licenses and everything. So when I had to work the counter, which was that was a challenge in itself. So I had to move my stuff up there, connect to the laptop, and then I also had to have my CCTV so I could magnify, so I could read the stuff. And I knew how to do the job. It's just that I had to get orientated in, where to find information on a person's driver's license, or if they had the registration, how to find that, and everybody said, well, it's like, okay, I need a second, because I have to put it under my magnifier so I can see it, but it was a learning experience. And, I like the fact that they were open and supportive. They were like, well, whatever you need, So, but then after I broke my shoulder, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to kind of rethink this, because then I wasn't able to drive. So, that was the beginning of the ending of one chapter, and the beginning of another chapter is how I like to put it.
Well, I know that had to be a frightening experience for you when you went airborne, misjudging those steps and stuff. But you seem like you've really adjusted quite well to your blindness. Would you agree with that?
Yes, because the first day I was like, what the H am I going to do? And I was like, now what am I going to do? And then, after like 30, 40 minutes and, it kind of sunk in, then I just changed my attitude, because I like to tell people that my mother told me that I was a genius, so I believed her. I was a Girl Scout. And so in our troop, sometimes we planned a lot of activities and they didn't go as planned. But my mother would say, well, we're Girl Scouts, so, we're going to make the best of it. So that's what I would tell myself. And so I would say, this is a learning. I can do this, it'll be all right. And I just, just take it one day at a time. And then I just started focusing on what can I do? I was like, well, first I have to learn how to navigate my house a little bit better. I just took just baby steps, and then just branched out a little bit. And, sometimes it was terrifying. And then other times I was just like, oh, okay. You just take it in stride, or sometimes you have to do things, you have to figure out a different way to do it. So now, some days are better than others, but, I'm still adjusting, I'm just taking a bigger step now.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Very, very good. Thank you so much, Carla, for sharing those different things with us. I'm going to pass it over to Bev. I know she's got a lot of questions.
Oh, wow. Where do I start? Oh, my gosh. And I love this Meet the People, because I wouldn't know Carla, if it weren't for us reaching out and say, would you like to do this? So I feel like I know you already, Carla. And I've got questions. Okay, you said you did drive at one time, and breaking your shoulder made you realize you couldn't drive anymore?
Well, I think while I was healing, then I just, I had to let that recuperate. So then I stopped driving, and then my vision continued to decline. So, one month turned into 6 months, and then I'm just like, okay, everybody said, well, you probably shouldn't be driving. I was like, I said thanks for falling down the steps, now nobody will trust me, I was like, you probably got a point there.
But that's hard to give up. It's really hard. I did drive for 7 years, and what really got me was moving from a little rural town in Illinois to St. Louis, and okay, I definitely am done driving now.
Okay, yeah.
But did you have any difficulties with work, with supervisors or anything with your them making adjustments for you so you could continue with your work?
Well, initially, I would say, no, I didn't. They were very, very supportive because when I applied for the job, I told them that I am visually impaired. And I don't think that I was declared legally blind at that time. I'm not sure. You know, but you know, I knew my sight wasn't the greatest. So I was working with rehabilitation services for the blind, so I did let them know. And you know, they were like, "Oh, that's fine. We have somebody else that that's visually impaired, and she works there and she does this." You know, but their thinking was one blind person is the same. You know, they have the same level of vision, and that's definitely not the case, you know, because I did get to meet the lady because when I was coming in, she was retiring and she saw a little bit better than I did. I'm not sure what her impairment was, but, you know, she saw a little bit better and, you know, they were just like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, no big deal. We'll get you what you need. You know, we'll get you a brighter light and I was like, well, it's going to be a little bit more than that. Well, they had the experience of knowing that blindness comes in different stages, you know.
Yeah.
One person's blindness is not the same as another person being blind, you know. And then it varies on different days, because some days I would come in and I know my eyes would be bloodshot, but I could feel them and I could tell that they were swollen. And so my supervisor, she was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." She was like, "Well, your eyes," I said, "are they swollen? Are they red?" I said, "You look like a monster." And she was like, "Yeah, kind." And I was like, "Yeah, I can kind of feel it." But it was some days, I don't know, for whatever reason, that would just happen, you know. But in terms of their support, yes, because I made them fully aware of my situation with my eyes. And they were very much supportive until towards the end, then it became a little sticky because, you know, my vision had like kind of declined rapidly. And they were like, "Well, are you going to still be able to do your job?" And I was like, "I'm trying to get out of the bed and navigate my house. You know, getting to work, I'm working on that, you know." And they're like, "Well, when are you coming back to work?" And I was like, "Well, I'm still trying to figure this out. It's not like I just had a baby and, you know, give me 6 weeks and I'll be back. No, I'm trying to figure out, you know, talk to my doctors, find out," because I had a couple of procedures as well. So I was like, "I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do here." And they was like, "Well, we need to know something." And I was like, "Trust me, as soon as I know, you'll find out." You know, it became a little sticky, but, you know, at that time, by that point, I was like, okay, I have to focus on me and getting better. And I was like, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If not, you know, something else will come along. And, you know, it was kind of, sometimes it would kind of put me into a frenzy. And I would tell my sister, and she was like, "Nope." She's like, "Don't worry about that. Just focus on, you know, recuperating. And we got to figure this out, you know." So I was like, "Okay, well, as long as I don't starve to death, I guess I'll be okay." And, you know, that's how it worked out, you know. I just ended up working with, attending the meetings with Agape, and just becoming familiar with different services that were available, and then just trying to figure it all out. Because, you know, I mean, it's a lot, especially when it's not really expected. You know, it's not something that you can really prepare for. At least in my situation, it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you would be a fantastic mentor for others. Yeah, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And to encourage them and let them know what you can do instead of what you can't do, you know,
right.
And be realistic about it.
Yeah, even if it's getting up, like my one friend, she said, I get up and made my bed by myself. That's a good thing. And I was like, yep. I said, if I went to the grocery store and came back home by myself, that's a great day. You know, if I went to the bank, that's a great day. I was like, if I found my medicine that I dropped on the floor, that's a very good day.
Yes.
So, you know, it's just you have to do things differently, and that, you know, you can still do what you want to do. You just have to put your mind to it and figure out a way. It might not be the easiest, but, you know, it can be done. You just have to figure out the way.
And do you think about your grandmother, you know, thinking about you now and say, I'm proud of you, and your mother saying, you're a genius, you can do this, you know, keep them in mind?
What? Now I'm taking a sewing class because I used to sew with my grandmother. I used to be the one that would have to thread the needle for her or for her sewing machine. So now I'm taking a sewing class. And the first thing I noticed, I was like, wow, these machines have really changed from the last time I saw one, you know. So, and the lady that's teaching us, she is very, 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 she is the most patient person in the world. She is very, very patient and very encouraging. And she was like, oh, yeah, you could do that. And I was like, well, I said, I think I went off a little bit. She was like, yeah. She said, we'll just undo it and you'll just try it over again. So she's learning how to work with visually impaired people, and we're learning how to sew. So, yep, I think of my grandmother even more now. And so now when I speak with my cousin like once a week, she was like, so what did you make this week? And I tell her, I said, well, we made an eyeglass case. I said, or we made a cosmetic bag, you know, and I send her a picture of it. She was like, okay, that's nice. And I told her, I said, Grandma would be so proud. She was like, yeah, she would, you know. So, yep, I think of both of them often now.
Yes, that is great. And like I said, you can be such an encouragement to others. And the one that's teaching the class, can you imagine how many times she's telling others, well, one of my students is blind and we're working, you know?
Well, no, she has three visually impaired.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because, you know, I have two partners in crime, Janitra Perry and Wilma Chestnut. So.
Oh, my gosh. Wow,
so
that's great.
So she has three of us, yeah, so it makes it very, very fun.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, and that's, I wasn't sure about going back to my knitting or crocheting after I lost my sight, but, you know, you don't know till you just sit down and try it and do it. And I noticed my daughter was bringing me sewing stuff. And I go, this is ridiculous. You had 4-H, you know how to sew, and you bring it to me to do it for you. But I'm glad I can. And maybe someday she'll say, well, if Mom could do it, I guess I can do it too. Yes. But another little area that sometimes can be difficult is socializing with others when you've got that visual impairment. And did you see anything in school, PE or any of your peers that was a struggle? Because there again, I bet you can be so encouraging to others.
Well, when my social, well, you know, I really don't consider myself an outgoing person. And all of my friends tell me to stop saying that. I said, but I don't. I said, I will speak to people if they speak to me. I just don't approach them. You know, so if somebody comes up and says, hi, how you doing? I'll hold a conversation with them. But in terms of like when I was in school, no, not really.
Oh, good. That's great. And when you talk about going to your Agape meeting, that is such a big support, you know, and I love it at camp, sitting on the porch with others, and we laugh at some of the things we do, you know, and we share because others understand. They know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We had
a
member,
a community.
Mary Mellis, lost her sight from macular degeneration at an older age. And she was there and she said, you know, this is so interesting watching these, she would say, these sightless people run off the sidewalk, fall into the bushes, and just get up and go again. And I said, well, what do you want them to do? You know, just stay there. But
Yep, you got to keep moving.
Keep moving, keep going.
And keep going, exactly.
Yes. Chip, you want to jump in here?
Oh, yeah. So thanks so much. So, Carla, I don't know, doesn't sound like you went through any kind of downtime. Did you experience any type of denial as you begin to lose your vision?
Well, after falling, it was pretty hard to deny anything after that. So, the short answer would be no. Because, but see, for me, it didn't seem like I was losing my vision because I've always worn glasses or had contact lenses. So to me, it just seemed like me walking around without my glasses on or having my contacts in. But so, you know, I had the same level of vision. You know, to me, I thought, okay, well, I just need to get, you know, I need to go see the doctor so I can get a new pair of contact lenses. And so after that realization did not come about, then I was like, oh, okay, well, it wasn't that much of an adjustment for me because when I used to wear my glasses, my mother would always say, well, take your glasses off and give your eyes the rest. And I'm like, what do you mean? If I take my glasses off, I can't see. And I cannot understand how people who wore glasses could take their glasses off and still see, you know, to be able to navigate. If I took my glasses off, no, I wouldn't be able to go too far. No.
Okay.
So it was similar to that. So it wasn't a big adjustment. It was something that I was familiar with, but it had been quite a while since I had to experience it, you know, and then having to experience it now, you know, trying to make the adjustments. Okay, well, that means what? I can't drive? What do you mean? What?
Okay. Carla, are you working anywhere now?
Well, currently I'm not working, but I am available. You have any jobs available?
I don't.
I'm open to doing volunteering work or mentoring. Like you said, I love to mentor. And so I've tried to keep myself involved in doing different activities throughout the blind community. So I take advantage of the, like I signed up for the ceramics class with Society for the Blind. I do the sewing on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I try and stay pretty busy, but I am looking for a job. And so I'm just trying to find what I want to do because, you know, for me, the challenge is always transportation.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's always a challenge. And I did have a job where I worked for 4 months, but the transportation, and I was working afternoons, and the transportation did not work out as planned, you know, and this was somebody that I knew. And for a blind person that has a little bit of sight at nighttime, I like to be indoors. And so I explained to the person that this job I work from 1 to 9. I said at 9 o'clock, I said by 9:15, everybody's gone. It's not no hangout or whatever, you know. So you have to be there to pick me up. Okay, mm-hmm. So that means be there at 9 o'clock. Me calling you at 9:30 is not a good sign. So mm-hmm. needless to say, I was like, okay, this is not, and that would just put me into a panic mode. So I was like, I won't be able to do this. So I think the best job, the ideal job, I think, would be for me to work from home, unless I could find reliable transportation where I could, you know, carpool with somebody or something like that, you know, because, well, we know how reliable caller ride is.
Yeah,
so I can't depend on that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I would love to work, and I like to go to work and be work on time and stuff like that. But yeah.
Okay, sure. Well, I know Bev's going to want to talk to you here in just a few minutes about your experience at this year's ACB National Conference and Convention. But you mentioned that your sister kind of got you involved with Agape. How long ago was that?
That was probably a year and a half ago, probably going on 2 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you're doing some mm-hmm. stuff. You're mm-hmm. doing some stuff right now with Wilma. Are you working with her on the Sports and Recreation Committee? I know you guys took a little trip over to Jefferson City. You got some things going on over there with the White King
yep.
Safety Day and everything. So,
yes.
Are you working
with
her?
On that.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm working with her. With her, she's having a camp. On September the 15th. So I'm working with her with that, helping her along with Tanitra, getting her organized and, you know, setting up the activities and things of that nature. So, yeah, trying to keep up with her. That's a full-time job.
Okay. All right.
She does not sit still.
Yeah. So what other type of activities have you done while being a member of Agape? Have you gotten involved in any other type of activities with that affiliate?
No, I participated. No, I guess the short answer would be no.
Okay.
I was the secretary, and I did, no, I take that back. I did attend the legislation day up in Jefferson City.
Yeah, I thought you did. Yeah, yeah, I thought you did, yeah.
That was exciting. And I see it now. I really like that. I just thought that we should have had more follow up from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so, I thought that was the start of it, but I had plans to have, you know, I was like, well, we need to follow up with people. Even the people that didn't attend could still send emails and letters and get their families to write and everything. But
mm-hmm.
I guess that's something we have to look into or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So also tell us, Carla, now that you've been a part of the organization for almost 2 years, have you pretty well gotten acclimated to a lot of our services and programs that we provide?
I've become familiar with some of them because I did, with MCB, I did receive... like I just signed up with Tap Wireless to get assistance for a phone because my phone was about to die. I was a first timer at the MCB convention in October. And trying to think of what else. I think those are all the ones that I've participated
okay.
in thus
okay.
far.
All right. Well, thank you. Bev, we don't have a whole lot of time left, so I'm going to turn it back over to you. And now you want to talk to Carla about this year's ACB National Conference and Convention.
Yes, yes. And I'm so excited for you, Carla, that you were able to attend. Could you give us some highlights of what really impressed you, and would you be willing to go to another one?
Yes, I certainly would. Well, what impressed me the most were basically the volunteers, because from the first time that we walked into the hotel there was somebody there to say, oh, you know, do you need help? Can we assist you? And sometimes we did, and sometimes we didn't, but it was nice to know that there were plenty of volunteers, and they were nice and friendly, and they were able to direct us or give us guidance whenever we needed some assistance in navigating around the hotel. Now, I didn't tell you that Janitra and I took the train from St. Louis to Schaumburg all by ourselves, and that was an experience. Because I had done that before as a sighted person, but it was completely a little bit different with a person with not so much sight. But it was, all in all, it was a good trip. It was an adventure. That's what I always like to tell her. I said, we're going to have another adventure. So that was fun. I also like the fact that we utilized the trolley that they had. So they said they did a 3-mile radius. So we just rolled on the trolley, and we went one day and just saw all the different places that it went, and we made note of it. And then the next day we went to the mall. We went to the Bath and Body. We did more shopping there than I had done here in St. Louis. But it was a very good experience, and I am definitely looking forward to going next year, because I remember Miss Wilma had asked us to go to the one in, was it in Oklahoma? Where was the one?
Oh, Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I said, that is too far away. I said, I said, I'm not going. No. I said, no. And then 1 year later, here we are. And so we decided to go, and it was a good experience meeting other visually impaired people as participants and as vendors. Mm-hmm. So I was very much intrigued and interested, and I liked a lot of the different discussions that they had outside of the, I didn't attend any of the paid activities, but we did participate in a couple of the, I don't know what you call them, the meetings or the sessions or the events that they have. So it was very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. They do have a group that, with low vision. Did you check that out?
What did we do? There was one, and I don't know why we said that we were going to attend it, and then something else happened. So we weren't able to make that one.
It gets overwhelming, doesn't it? Sometimes you have to make choices
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot going on.
I now understand next year how to navigate, or I can better understand the different activities and the ones that are paid for and the ones that you don't have to pay for. And I did also like the fact that they were offered on the a virtual, because I know one day we were so tired we just said, okay, let's just listen to it on the phone, and we did, and we still received the good information, though we were too tired to go to the room. But I like the fact that we had that option.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. Well, next year I believe it's going to be in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, okay. With the train, you said from St. Louis to Schaumburg, do you change trains in Alton? Oh boy, I think there's a story about this one.
No, we took the train all the way into Union Station, and then our teacher said that we're going to take another train from Union Station to Schaumburg, Illinois. So the red cap took us there, and you know, he said, just stay here and I'll let you know when the train comes. So we said, okay. So it comes and he puts us on the train and everything. And so then the ticket man comes along and he says, your ticket. So I pull out the paper and he said, ma'am, this is a ticket for Amtrak. And I was like, you're correct. He was like, well, this isn't an Amtrak train. I said, well, is it going to Schaumburg? He was like, yes, we'll get you there. So apparently we got on the train for like a metro train, but no one explained that to us.
So oh,
he was
my
like,
gosh.
Don't worry about it. You know, it's okay. So we had a free ride from Chicago to Schaumburg, you know, but everybody was really nice, you know, they helped us get on and off the train, you know, but again, we had a good experience because I wasn't going to cry, but I was just like, okay, well, we just have to figure this out, you know, so the mistake that we made is that we did not purchase a ticket to ride the train from Chicago to Schaumburg. But now we know.
Oh, gosh, you are good, Carla. I think I would have started to panic. Am I on a freight train?
He said it was going to Schaumburg, so we were good. Okay, we'll just go to Schaumburg. How much do we owe? You know, do we pay now or we pay later? Okay, as long as we're in Schaumburg, that was my main concern.
Yep. And then coming home, you were on the right train coming home then, right?
Well, we almost went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
But, you know, luckily somebody said, no, you need to be on the other side because I said, we're trying to go to Chicago. And it's like, oh, no, that's going to Milwaukee. I was like, no, we don't want to go there today. You know?
Not
so
today.
We got on the other side of the track. So, it all worked out because you learn to ask for help. And most importantly, you learn to accept help too, you know, when it's offered to you. So, and we had both of those opportunities and we were able to get from A to B.
Yep. Well, good. That's great. Well, I can't think of any other questions, Chip. And I know you've got some finalized questions too.
All right. So
shall we move into those?
Yeah, that sounds good. So actually, Carla, my last question, I wish we had a lot more time. You're just such a delight to interview. But my last question is there anything about Carla Green that nobody knows except those that are really close to you? And it doesn't have to be anything really all that personal. You shared a little bit about, you know, you're doing some sewing and doing some stuff like that. What type of other things, what would you say really defines you? Maybe your personality or what you like to do, where you've gone, those kind of things that really nobody knows about Carla Green that you wouldn't mind sharing.
Well, I think people know that I'm a helper. I like to help. And that I think that's the most important thing. And then the other thing is, I always want people to spell my name right. It's Carla Green with the E at the end. That's what I always tell people. And they always say, Carla Green with the E at the end. I was like, yes, that's me. Because without the E, that's not me. You know, so I think me being a helper and that E at the end of my name is very important to me.
Okay. All right.
Oh.
But Carla, thank you so much for being our guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. Like I said, you've been a fun person to interview. We really appreciate it. People are going to get to know you. So just thank you so much for being our guest here today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, lady, and I tell you, she's going to be fun going to Jacksonville next year. That sounds like a lot of fun. So, but ladies and gentlemen, if
we have to figure out if it's going to be the train or the plane.
Right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody, and we'll see you right back here next time. God bless for now.